Good morning, everybody. Before I start, I would be interested to know who in the room works for a local health department. Okay, yeah, Charlotte. State health department? Okay, well, other. Anyone just want to shout out who you're with so I have a sense of who's in the room?
Academic?
Private sector? Okay, great. Well, welcome. I'll be telling a story today about our journey with the New Orleans Health Department. I actually came to the health department from a consulting background, so I think it's fun that I'm up here with some folks from Deloitte. And then just as I want everyone to know that Charlotte Parent is our deputy director at the health department. She is here, and so when we get to the question session, you have me as well as her as a resource to answer your questions. So in terms of the agenda for the presentation today, I'll talk a little bit about the department's history and the need for change, why we took on this transformation effort, and walk you through our transformation process and then discuss the lessons learned. The New Orleans Health Department has a very long and proud history. Louisiana actually had the first Board of Health in the United States, starting in the early 1800s. And over time, you can see, looking through historical records, the exploration of what are the services that a health department should be offering? How can we best promote and protect public health? And as Charlotte and I have said, there you see cycles, and you can see sort of sometimes what's old is new again when you go back and look at the history. We thought this was an important process for us, you know, thinking we're transforming the department into something new to make sure that we were rooted in understanding the history. I've included these photos just to give you a sense of what New Orleans Health Department was like in the early 1900s. Strong focus on quarantine, on infectious disease, sanitation, but you can also see that they were engaged in those early public health activities like John Snow using mapping and geospatial information and data to help promote and protect health. So the focus throughout the 1900s really was more of a direct service model. And in the 1990s, we had an expansion of primary health clinics that the department operated itself to the point where we had 10 operated by the city using a combination of grant and local city dollars. After Hurricane Katrina, there was a lot of investment in the community from the federal level to help build community health centers via the private sector. At the same time, the city was only able to get 3 of its own clinics back online and running, although they still continued to struggle and were not necessarily able to provide the level of quality that we would have wanted to provide to the citizens. Emergency medical services was removed from the health department and put under Homeland Security. Some of our major grant programs were taken to be operated out of the mayor's office. Our environmental health division was moved to code enforcement to focus really strictly on blight and to addressing those serious vacant home, vacant lot issues that were facing the city at the time. Our healthcare for the homeless program was under review from HRSA. And the state was closing their WIC clinics, but we decided to retain ours. So we were very much in this period of some services being moved to other parts of the city, some pieces of what we were doing being taken on by the private sector, our own programs sometimes struggling. So it was really a challenge to sort of get your bearings and be grounded in terms of what should the health department be doing. In 2010, we elected a new mayor, Mitch Landrieu. He appointed Dr. Karen DeSalvo as the health commissioner. During Mayor Landrieu's administration's initial arrival, the conversation was actually on the table of disbanding the health department altogether. He said, do we even really need a health department here when we have these private sector clinics? Through Charlotte's work, as well as Dr. DeSalvo's, the decision was made that yes, public health is important. We do want to have a health department, but it can't look like what it's looked like before. So our 3 main goals were to advance the health department into the 21st century of what public health would look like, bringing data-driven approaches specifically to strengthening the local health care system, and to embed health in all policies at City Hall so we could use policy as a tool for advancing health. A little more information about the need for change. the entire city of New Orleans had some very dire systemic and financial challenges. We were facing debt. We had old, outdated systems. The New Orleans Health Department was no different. And at the same time, we had some very serious public health threats that were out there that we were not addressing directly. Violence is a major issue in New Orleans. Obesity, low birth weight, poverty, these were the types of things that as a health department we wanted to be looking at, not serving individuals one at a time in a clinical setting. In addition, the finance side. So it was about $4 million to operate the clinics, the three clinics that we had going. We had been receiving grant funds through a primary care access and stabilization grant, about $2.5 million, but those funds were ending. That grant period was over. We had been subsidizing the clinics with $1.5 million from the city general fund. With the serious financial challenges of the city, we knew that our health department for 2012 was going to be about $1.6 million for everything. So there really was no way that we could continue to operate the clinics and to address public health. So there we had this balance between direct service and public health. We decided that public health was where we wanted the focus to be. So in terms of the transformation objectives, we wanted to transition out of direct clinical services by July 2011. My start date was March 2011, so it was a pretty fast timeline to make that big of a push. We wanted to build capacity to address population health, and then we wanted to use the Public Health Accreditation Board standards and measures as our roadmap for transformation and to achieve accredited status by 2014. Initially, most of our effort was on stabilizing the environment. It took us time to get to a place where we really could start addressing population health. And we used this slide to communicate to the leadership at City Hall to help them understand, this is not going to happen overnight. We're slowly building, but we have a lot of cleanup to do and systems to build. So part of stabilizing the environment, seemingly simple tasks, when we came and sat together, determining the department budget, doing an inventory of the supplies and equipment that are available, making sure our bills are paid, collecting payments that were owed to us, processing contracts, managing patient records, these were very challenging administrative pieces for us that happened at the same time that we were trying to transition out of the clinics and to build. And I just wanted to put this slide in here so if anyone is taking on an effort like this, you have to be prepared to turn over all the rocks and find the surprises and to be able to address that while still keeping your eyes on the prize. Just include this one picture. The inventory process, this is sort of a pictorial example of some of the challenges that we faced in trying to clean up and get organized. But we did it. For transitioning the services, our first step was to identify quality, affordable, alternative providers where our patients could go and they could get the type of care that we wanted them to receive. We set transition deadlines. It was our goal that we would be transitioned by July of 2011, and we took a phased approach, so we did one clinic at a time of the three clinics. Communication was an extremely important part of this process. We communicated internally with our own staff. We had scripts and signs and letters that we sent out to patients so they knew that this was happening and they knew where their alternatives were, our recommended alternatives. We communicated with city leadership. The state health department kept them in the loop because a lot of our patients were Medicaid patients. There were news articles in the public, PSAs, so we really wanted people to know that was happening, and we kept our ears open to see, are we going to get some blowback about this? Is there going to be an uprising of opposition? And we found that we didn't. People actually, they were very open and willing to be a part of this transition. And then we wanted to make sure that we tracked our patients so that we knew that they landed well at their new site. So in terms of the results, staffing-wise, we had a reduction of about 35 FTEs. Doctors, nurses, the those were not roles that were a part of the new scope of our department, but we worked very hard to make sure that those people landed well. Some of them took jobs at the clinics where our patients were going to be transitioned. Some moved into other aspects of our health department operations, but there was a reduction overall of 35 full-time equivalents. We did save $700,000 in 2011 alone, and remember that $4 million that it cost to run the clinics. We're saving through cost avoidance every year. Those are dollars that we don't have to spend out of the city coffers. At the same time, we see that 98% of our patients received care at their new sites within 9 months. And that made us feel really good. We knew that our people had landed well. They were getting the care that they needed. So planning for the future. Now that we've transitioned out of primary care, what are we going to look like? What are we going to be? We received amazing support from local, state, federal, national organizations. They really helped us to inform where we should be going as a department, like what is public health going to look like in the future and how do we get there. So I just want to say thank you to all of these partners and supporters. For our transformation plan, we use the 10 essential public health services as a guide, focusing on assessment, assurance, and policy development as the core and primary functions of public health. We knew we still had a lot of work internally to do to strengthen and build our administrative capacities with policies and procedures. We needed performance management. We needed workforce development. We had to achieve some level of financial sustainability. And we really needed to build some of our skills to work in these new areas. We needed better communication, better ways of working with data, and to really understand how we could use policy more effectively. Externally, it was very important to us to understand where we stood with our partners, to begin enhancing our relationships with our partners, and really getting out into the community and being a part of collaborative processes. And then we, through our transformation planning, as well as our community health improvement process, which I'll talk about a little bit more, we identified new program areas of focus that were public health oriented: violence prevention, behavioral health, chronic disease, focusing on access to health care versus provision of health care, performance management, community health improvement, and emergency preparedness. So these were new positions that we advocated to the city administration, said we need these types of positions to be able to promote and protect health. And we were able to successfully advocate for ourselves to get the funding for those positions. So what was our new identity going to be? What was the value proposition that we had as a player in City Hall and in the community? We thought that the most effective role that we could play with our lean staff was to be a neutral convener. We can facilitate the process of health improvement. We can bring people together. We can link them to resources. We can be that organization in the community that takes a full picture view of what are all the assets and resources that we have available, who needs what, and to help to link those entities together so that they can begin working together. We don't always have to be the doers. That was a really important reminder for us, for the staff, and for some of our partners in the community. We did part of this through a branding effort. We designed a new logo. We really wanted people to be able to recognize the health department, see us in a new light, and associate us with this new direction. I think you'll have access to the slides afterwards, so I'm not going to go through this slide in any detail, but I'll just let you know that the framework that the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation put forward through their Roadmaps to Health Prize really lays out the philosophy that we use for building population health capacity for our department and the core values that come with that. So leveraging resources through diverse partnerships, working with your partners to set a shared agenda that you're working toward together, using innovative collaboration methods so that you're using your resources most effectively. You want to link and align sectors so that all those who are impacting health are working together, understanding the impact that they're having together. So this is our overall timeline. This slide has a long story to tell, but I picked it up in July 2011, which was when we finished closing out of the clinics. At that time, we were successful in getting a grant from NACHO, the National Association of County and City Health Officials, to help us with our community health improvement process. For those that are not familiar with accreditation, you have three major prerequisites. Your community health assessment, which is where you're working with partners to understand what are the major influences on health in the community. Your community health improvement plan, which prioritizes those that you're going to work together to address and how you're going to be working together. And then your agency strategic plan, which specifies specifically what the department is going to do to support the CHIP. So we took about a year working with our partners to do the community health assessment. It was a mixed methods assessment, qualitative, quantitative. We did it in collaboration with a steering committee of cross-sector representation. And in January of 2013, we finished our community health improvement plan. At the same time, we were continuing to look at how our organizational programs and areas could be supportive of these emerging priorities in the community. And they are in the back. This is our strategic plan, one pager, two pager, I guess you could say. And you can reference this, but it lays out the main objectives, which are aligned with the Community Health Improvement Plan, and then each of our program areas that support those. And then on the back is our performance management system described, essentially, where you can see how it is that we're holding ourselves accountable and tracking success for advancing these particular health priorities in the community. And just for this slide, I just want to point out, in 2011, there were three performance measures that were included as part of the city's budgeting process. They didn't necessarily hold meaning for our staff in the way that we wanted our performance measures to. They didn't cover the scope of the work that we did, and they weren't aligned to a strategic plan. So, and it took time. I could give a whole separate presentation on the advancement of our performance management process. But through working with the community, understanding what their priorities were, aligning our own work, and working with the staff to set targets, we were able to develop our current performance management structure, which you can see in the back. So in terms of successes, we were able to bring in over $1 million in new grant support for department and community programs beyond our general fund and beyond the longstanding HRSA grants that we had to support programs like Ryan White, Healthy Start, WIC. We have very strong partnership networks now. We have an initiative called FitNola, which has over 250 partners from the community engaged across business, academic, schools. We have the press that's involved. We have corporate and private entities. It really is an area that the community wanted to get engaged with. There was a lot of pent-up momentum, I guess you could say, that really, you know, we were able to come forward and help to channel and to drive and to facilitate part of that process, but really just harnessing what was already there as interest and momentum in the community. We've been able to try some really new and exciting initiatives. We were the first city in the country to do this particular emergency preparedness exercise. We partnered with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services using the Medicare data to identify those in our community who may be oxygen dependent or on dialysis or have some form of electricity dependent device that were there to be an emergency, a flood, a hurricane, a power outage, something like that. These are the people that we would have to get to first. So we did a drill. We went out into the community, knocked on doors, found made sure that these people were enrolled in our database of systems, and we actually got to pilot it after this exercise. We had a water boil advisory, and we were able to use that data, quickly identify and then communicate with those who needed to be aware because of their medical condition that this incident had happened. That was a really big step for us, who just a few years ago we were using forms and pieces of paper in the hands of different people, as opposed to centralized database with real-time data. We're also really moving toward the neighborhood level place-based focus on health. That is where our programs and our focus is. We were a 2013 Roadmaps to Health Prize winner from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and County Health Rankings. We're extremely proud of this, and really feel like this was a validating experience for us for all the work we had done to build our community health capacity. And we are on track to become an accredited health department in 2014. We have all of our documents submitted and should be having our site visit in January. In terms of lessons learned, it was really crucial for this effort to have one person focused on transformation day in and day out, and that was the role that I played. I was able to bring strategy and understanding of what the Public Health Accreditation Board and NACHO and what all of these national entities had in terms of their technical assistance, take that, funnel it down, help apply it to our local context, and really bring project management and change management techniques. 0 minutes, okay. Thank you.